How do you do? At one time or another, we all wonder what life is all about. Why are we here? What's the purpose? What happens when we die? When the man in this story began asking those questions, his life spun into depression. He desperately sought the truth, but kept turning his back on the one person who had the answers. He learned the truth when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, true life stories that light the way, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. When homeless people find no place to sleep, they walk the streets all night trying to keep warm and safe. And that's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night as a refuge for those without a home, offering without charge meals, clean clothing and bunks, medical and dental care. The old lighthouse is a haven for an uncaring world. Even more, the mission offers hope and the means to change their desperate circumstances. And all this is made possible by caring friends and listeners who give what they can to keep the porch light burning. Pastors and counselors share the good news that enables the homeless to walk in new life with the one who sets them free. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2567 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Mr. Dwyer, you can come in to see your wife now.
Is everything okay?
Your wife is fine. You have a son.
Hi, babe.
Hi, honey. Have you seen him yet?
No. No, the doctor just came and got me.
Can we see the baby?
We're doing some tests right now.
Tests? Is he all right?
He seems very healthy, except for a couple of abnormalities.
What do you mean?
He has only three fingers on his right hand, and his left leg is shorter than his right, and smaller in bone structure. Also, he has four toes on that foot.
Oh, my poor baby. How did that happen?
There are no easy answers.
Oh, Doc, can this be corrected?
Perhaps when he's older.
Oh, why us?
Over the years, the man in this story experienced every kind of inner reaction to his physical abnormality, from rebellious anger to fatalistic acceptance. Hardest of all to bear was the daily struggles. It's not easy to get up close and personal with someone when you fear rejection, but that's what changed his life. This is the true story of Thomas Dwyer right now on Unshackled.
I was born September 18, 1959. The first couple of years, I played like any other baby. But by age three, I wore a leg brace to straighten the bone of my left leg, which by then was about 2 inches shorter than the right. When I started kindergarten, Mom had a special shoe made with a lift on it. No one teased me at school or made fun of me. Occasionally, a kid would ask what happened to me, and I'd answer, "Well, that's the way God made me." We had regular visits with an orthopedic doctor, and then one day, he called my parents for a special visit.
Tom is 10 years old now. How's he doing at school?
Oh, fine. He seems to have lots of friends.
His left leg is now 3 inches shorter than the right one. At this rate, there'll be a 6-inch difference by the time he's an adult.
6 inches? That's too much to compensate for with a shoe lift.
Yes, that's why I called you in. There is an operation that might help Tom. The procedure is to cut on both sides of the good leg to stop the growth for a year. We have to cut through tendons, ligaments, muscle, and even bone.
Oh, boy, and then what?
A year later, we go back to make alterations and start the growth process again, at a slower pace.
Doc, that sounds risky.
The biggest risk is this. If Tom should accidentally break his leg after the operation, it could stunt his growth pattern for life.
That's pretty serious.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
He's very active. He loves sports.
Well, he won't be able to engage in any sports after the surgery. Much too dangerous.
Well, let's go home and talk to Tom about it.
Oh, I know what he'll say. He'd give anything to be able to run and play normally.
Of course I wanted the operation. Mom and Dad were more nervous about it than I was. I had a tremendous peace that I didn't understand back then. Both operations were a complete success, and slowly, my shorter leg caught up with the other one. By the time I was 12, both legs were about the same length.
You're doing great, son.
Yeah, my left foot is still smaller, but I just wear more socks on it. I can walk and run and play better than I ever could.
You know, the doctor said you shouldn't play sports at all now.
Oh, Mom!
Honey, if you should break a bone, you'd never be the same. That's what the doctor said.
I'll be careful.
I'm sure you would, but accidents happen.
What's the point of going through all that if I can't play sports?
Tom.
I won't play tackle football, Mom. I just want to play ball with my friends.
All right. We'll just have to trust in God to watch over you.
Yeah, so far. My legs are so much better. It's a miracle.
We need to thank God for that miracle.
When I was younger, Mother would pray with me at bedtime, and we usually went to church. But I was not excited about God. He was too distant, and I was more interested in sports. I played every game there was, from baseball to football, basketball to hockey. I even made the golf team in high school. Not once did I stop to thank God that I was never injured. But during high school, I began to experience a different kind of pain.
Tom, would you put this on the table?
Sure. Mom, I can't wait to see God.
Why do you say that?
Because I want to ask him why he made me like this.
Oh, you always seem to accept your condition, Tom. Is something bothering you?
I notice people staring at my hand, so I try to hide it at school.
People like you for who you are, not how you look.
Yeah, I know, but I still hurt inside when I see other kids who are normal. I wonder, why me?
I'm sure God had a reason. Now go tell your sister dinner is ready and wake up your father. He's asleep on the couch.
My father was a workaholic and an alcoholic who came home almost every day and drank martinis until he fell asleep. Because of his work schedule and heavy drinking, we had a very distant relationship. And when he drank, he yelled a lot at us, so we were never very close. My escape was sports. By the time I was 18, I was gone a lot, too.
Don't stay out too late.
I won't. I'm just going to play some racquetball.
Your father isn't feeling well.
What's wrong?
I don't know. He was working in the basement and came up and lay down on the couch. Why don't you go over and give him a kiss before you leave?
Yeah, sure. Dad, sorry you're not feeling well.
I'll be all right, Tom.
Well, I'm playing racquetball with a friend. Just see you later. For some reason, I sat in my car and fiddled with the tape player for about 10 minutes. Just as I backed out of the driveway, an ambulance and 3 police cars pulled up. Paramedics rushed inside, so I followed them. What's going on?
Oh, you can't go in there.
I live here. I have to go inside. Oh, man, that's Dad on the floor. Mom! Mom, what happened?
We had a heart attack, Tom. Oh, it was awful.
Is he going to make it?
He has to.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but he's gone.
Oh, dear God, no. It can't be.
I grieved for my father when he died, but there was also a sense of relief. No more drunken yelling. With no authority figure, I began to drink more, staying out late with my buddies, especially on the weekend.
Tom, are you going to church with me today? You haven't gone since your dad died.
What time is it?
10:30.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm too tired.
Well, no wonder. You were out pretty late.
Oh, I don't remember.
You better watch yourself, Tom. Don't forget how heavily your father drank and how it affected his life.
Oh, I'm just having a good time, Mom, that's all.
Oh, let me sleep.
I didn't give her words much thought, and the drinking continued. Sometimes I would come home drunk and feeling sorry for myself, I would cry out angrily to God. Why did you make me like this? Why can't I be like everyone else? I just want to be able to go to the beach and wear shorts and go barefoot without feeling uncomfortable. I want to shake hands with people and not have them make some comment.
Oh, what girl is ever going to date me? I don't want to be like this, God!
The anger at God and the self-pity didn't last long, though. And the next day, I would carry on with the parties and drinking. Most of the time, I had a peace and acceptance of my condition. When I was about 20, I met Patty, and we began dating a year later.
Tom, Dad wants you to watch the football game with him on Sunday.
Hey, great. I sure like your dad.
Oh, he likes you, too.
He's so easy to be with. Enjoys his beer like me, but doesn't get mean and loud the way my father did.
Everybody is not the same, Tom. Sometimes you drink too fast, and then you say things you wouldn't say otherwise. If you would just slow down, you'd be okay.
Hey, I am okay. I'm not an alcoholic.
I'm just telling you what I see, Tom, and I see a big change in you when you drink too fast.
If you're worried, I'll cut back on my drinking. Patty and I were married in 1983 when I was 24 years old, but I didn't cut back on my alcohol. Drinking began to affect our marriage as I lied about where I was or when I'd be home. Sometimes I'd come home too drunk to argue, but we'd fight the next day. I always went to work, but I was often tired and hungover. Less than 2 years later, we were expecting our first baby, and I was filled with anxiety.
The doctor says everything is fine, Tom.
Yeah, but what if the baby is born like me?
Oh, honey, don't worry about that.
I do worry. I don't want him to face what I endure every day. People staring or trying not to look, asking stupid questions, never feeling normal.
I love you just the way you are, Tom, and so does God.
How can he love me? He's the one who made me like this, and I don't want him to do that to my kids. I don't know if I could handle that.
Some hard lessons lay ahead for Tom, which we'll hear about in just a moment. You can share these uplifting testimonies with others very easily. Simply write and ask for 2 free booklets. Each booklet tells one of these stories just as it was produced and broadcast on Unshackled. And yet each booklet is small enough to slip into your pocket, handy to give to someone, easy to mail to a friend. Now, we've published a wide variety of booklets, so if you know someone with a particular problem, let us know what subject matter to address, and we'll send you a story that testifies to God's grace in changing that person, enabling them to deal with the problem. These testimonies are such an encouragement to others, you could be the means of saving someone's marriage or life or soul. Each booklet concludes with scripture verses and a prayer leading to salvation, so anyone can read and choose new life. Order your 2 free booklets today. If you have access to the Internet, you can also order online by visiting our website, www.unshackled.org. To get your free booklets, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
Isn't he beautiful?
Oh, he sure is. 9 pounds, 3 ounces, and he's perfect from head to toe.
See? All your fears were for nothing.
Yeah, I sure prayed hard about him.
You did?
Oh, you bet. I begged God to please give us a baby without abnormalities.
Well, he did. Our little Matthew was perfect.
I have to remember to thank God for him. My gratitude was short-lived. I had a son to raise, sports to play, and parties to attend. God was a resource when I was in trouble, that's all. Just knowing he existed was a good enough belief system for me. So I went back to my booze. I always promised Patty that I'd quit drinking, but my words were empty. I loved my wife and son, but didn't let that interfere with my drinking. During the next year, symptoms of alcoholism began to show up in my life, and alcohol has a price. What began as fun when I was 19 had enslaved me by the time I was 27. In January of 1987, everything came to a head. I came home really drunk one weekend, and by Sunday evening, my life began to fall apart. I went to bed but couldn't sleep.
Tom, what's wrong?
I don't know. My mind is racing.
and so is my heart.
Are you worried about something?
I don't think so. I just feel anxious. You know, it's hard to breathe.
Try breathing slowly and deeply.
It feels like the walls are closing in on me.
Well, maybe you should get up and read a while.
I can't stand it. I gotta get out of the house and walk around. Even outdoors, I felt claustrophobic. Each day was worse than the one before, like a war going on inside of me. Fear and nervousness constricted my chest constantly. I couldn't eat and began losing weight. By mid-February, depression had settled over me.
Won't you try to eat something, Tom?
No, I'm just not hungry.
You're wasting away.
That's appropriate. I wasted my life anyway. I'm a lousy husband and father.
No, Tom, you're not. You don't even go out drinking anymore.
My life is slipping away, and I have no control over anything anymore. Oh, I'd give anything to be the fun-filled, good-time guy I used to be.
I just don't understand why you feel that way. Nothing's changed. We don't have any illness or financial problems.
I know, but something's wrong, and I don't know what. I've lost 40 pounds, and I feel so afraid all the time.
You should see a doctor.
No. I think I'll go to church today. Maybe God will help me. Going to church every week didn't help, although I prayed fervently that God would take away my depression. It seemed that my prayers never reached him. Instead of lessening, my anxiety grew worse. From the moment I opened my eyes, depression hit me like a tidal wave. Negative thoughts flooded my mind. My greatest fear was that I would end up in a mental hospital. My wife, my mother, and my sister all tried to help me, but to no avail.
How's he doing, Pat?
Not very well. He doesn't even want to go to church today.
Oh, I wish there was something I could do to help.
Last night he just sat and cried. Nothing I say seems to make a difference. I don't understand what's happening.
Do you think he's suicidal?
I hope not. But he said he's thought about it.
Oh, it's so strange. Tom was always so upbeat about life. He never seemed to get down very often or very long, in spite of his physical problems.
He woke up this morning and said he couldn't go on any longer. That's why I called you. Hi, honey. Your mom's here.
Hi, Mom.
Are you going to go to church, Tom?
Why bother? God has abandoned me.
Oh, no, he hasn't, Tom.
Do you know how much I've prayed? God doesn't hear me. He doesn't care.
Tom.
Every day seems like a week. Every week feels like a month, and a month seems like a year. I'm nothing but a drag on my family.
Tom, we love you.
I know, but I can't continue to live like this.
It won't always be that way, Tom. This will pass.
What if I don't get better?
Why don't you check into the hospital? There are medicines that would help.
No. They might lock me up and never let me come home.
We wouldn't let that happen.
Well, you might not have any say. Besides, what will my friends think? No, there's no way I'm going into the hospital. I don't want to be locked up with a bunch of crazy people.
Oh, Tom, please. You have to do something to break out of this cycle of despair.
Leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
Well, we tried. I don't know what else to do.
Pray. Just pray for him, Patty.
This is it, God. I can't go on any longer. From now on, it's me and you. I am not going to go to any hospital. You're going to have to make me better. You, God, and nobody else. I know you can help me. Looking back, I can see that I was ready to trust only in God that day. The Bible promises in Psalm 72, verse 12, "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper." Every day, I began to feel a little better. Every day, God gave me enough strength to go on. I even began to eat better. Mom brought me a Bible that I read daily, and what I read gave me hope and a feeling of security.
I felt well enough in May to play softball with the guys and afterward have a beer.
Hey, where you been keeping yourself, Tom? Hibernating?
Yeah, I needed to get outdoors and play some ball.
Hey, tell me, how's the wife?
Expecting our second in December.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
Thanks. You know, new life is exciting, but it's a big responsibility.
Ah, come on, you can handle it.
I hope. You ever wonder what life is all about?
Oh, it's about drinking and having a good time.
Yeah? And then what?
Well, then you meet your maker.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, don't waste your time wondering, Tom. Just play the hand you're dealt.
I teetered between two kinds of reality. Reading the Bible each day, sustained by its truth, yet fighting the temptation to be one of the guys and go back to my old lifestyle. Month after month, God's word dissolved my anxieties, and yet something was missing. God himself was still distant to me. In December, our daughter was born, healthy and perfect. Another answer to prayer. Spring came again, and I was still confused. One day I was alone beside a creek, quoting the 23rd Psalm, when God seemed to speak to my heart and tell me that I needed a personal relationship with him, and the only way to do that was through his Son, Jesus Christ. That evening, while at home in the shower, he washed me clean as I repented. Jesus, forgive me for all the things I've done to dishonor you and your name. Forgive me for all my words and actions that were displeasing in your sight. My drinking, language, dishonesty, and my lusts. Forgive me, Jesus, for the times I used your holy name in an ignorant, disrespectful, and non-reverent way. But most of all, dear Jesus, forgive me for all the years I turned my back on you and ignored you. Come into my heart, Jesus, and show me how to live for you.
Dinner's almost ready, hon. You look more relaxed and happy than I've seen you in a long time.
The most amazing thing just happened to me, Pat. I now have a personal relationship with Jesus.
What?
No, don't be alarmed. Everybody should know him like this. I can feel his presence.
What do you mean?
I just asked Jesus into my heart. Patty, everything is so new. Jesus is the answer that I've needed all my life. I remember a verse from the Gospel of John where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." All this time, I wasn't seeing life through his eyes. No wonder I've had problems.
I guess I don't understand.
You have to surrender your life to Christ, and he makes the changes in you. Thoughts of him in your head aren't enough. The teachings in the Bible are so clear to me now. I can come to God the Father for wisdom and strength instead of trying to do it on my own.
Oh.
I prayed and asked forgiveness for ignoring him all these years. And then I asked him into my heart. Patty, that was the most exhilarating experience of my life. I'm free of all those fears. I'm really free.
I'm glad, Tom.
I realized something today. God has a plan and a purpose for my life. He made me with abnormalities to demonstrate his power, to show he can help me overcome anything.
That's a wonderful insight.
Yeah, and I can tell you something else, hon. I'm not going to drink anymore. Jesus changed my life completely in May 1988, healing me from the inside out. I never touched alcohol after that, and I quit smoking. As Patty saw the change in me, the joy and peace and the excitement for God's word, she put her faith and trust in Jesus too. I was filled with such joy and excitement, I felt like I would burst. I shared my testimony with co-workers, and five people made professions of faith in Christ, and others were being drawn to him.
Well, I have to admit, you are different, Tom.
Jesus set me free, Jeff. I always thought I was a Christian and good enough to go to heaven, but that isn't true. You must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then God gives us his spirit to help us understand him and his word.
Well, that's great, Tom, but, you know, I like to do my own thing.
Oh, and what'll happen when you die?
Well, I'm not sure, but I'll take my chances. I'm not worried.
Well, let me tell you something, Jeff. You don't want to take your last breath without receiving Jesus as your Savior. He is God's only provision for our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you have any idea what hell is like?
Party time, I hope.
Oh, yeah, Satan wants you to think that, but the Bible says otherwise. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 tells us, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death."
I don't know. I can't believe that God would do that.
Oh, God lets you choose, Jeff. But if you reject Jesus, his plan of salvation, it's an eternal choice. Choose life. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
Well, I'll think about it, Tom.
What about you? Will you make a decision today to choose life in Jesus Christ? He went to the cross for your sins, and he rose from the dead to give you eternal life. Do you know what heaven will be like? Imagine the best moment you've ever experienced, and then magnify that moment 100,000 times. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a marvelous truth.
We hope Tom's testimony has helped you to see the love and grace of God and his power to change your life, whatever the problems you face. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If you would like to receive forgiveness for your past, new life and hope for the future, invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life today. If you need help in this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2567. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please take a moment to write and tell us what this program means to you. Your letter is important to us. The address is easy. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. When trouble threatens to overwhelm you, call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462.
Thank you.